Hello and welcome. I'm Sofiko and this is Creative Minds Speaking, a podcast where I have conversations with creative industry professionals, bringing into the spotlight those incredible people who are behind the scenes of art and entertainment is the main goal of this podcast. On today's episode of the podcast, I'm going to chat with Natalia Tamames. Natalia is cultural and art manager at UNESCO, where she represents Spain at the moment. She is also culture, intellectual property, and entertainment lawyer at Anderson in Madrid. Overall, Natalia held numerous positions at the creative space, so I'm very, very happy to have her on the show. Hi, Natalia. Welcome.
Hello, Sofiko. Thank you very much for inviting me here.
I'm super happy to talk to you today because I got a chance to meet you in person and we had a very brief chat where you shared a little bit about your experience. And I feel like it will be very interesting for the listeners of the podcast to know it as well.
Thank you so much.
Could you please share your background and basically what led you to the creative industry?
Okay, thanks, Sofika, for this question. So as you shared with the audience in this brief introduction, I have like a double, I have like two sides in my life. On the one side, I'm a lawyer specializing in intellectual property in Madrid, but right now I'm finishing my role at the Spanish representation to UNESCO. I'm involved in cultural issues, in arts management, as you already said. And on the other side, I love creation. I love writing. I love singing. I love performing. So, well, just for the audience to know a little bit of my background, I got in touch with the creative industries back in my years at school. I used to take part in the choir, in the ballet sessions, in the dancing lessons and everything. After school and in university, I also got enrolled in several courses to continue singing, to continue on a stage, and to continue developing these expressions. And also, I found a lot of inspiration in my brother, who is a creator in the fashion industry. So, a bit this personal side led my professional side be directly linked to the cultural industries, and that's why today I'm very happy to be. To be doing things related to culture and arts. I mean, since I started working in 2017, so this is a bit of my personal life linked to my professional path.
That's very interesting. Could you please also share why, even though being very creative, you decided to study law and went to the law school?
Well, in fact, yeah, I studied law and business, a double degree in Madrid, Spain. I started with at the age of 17 because I'm from November, so I always start like, you know, a bit backwards. At that moment, I didn't feel like studying anything related to arts because I didn't have that emotion, you know. I love those branches, okay? I mean, my brother studied fashion. I mean, I could have studied arts or literature, whatever. But I think that I developed a more mature relationship with arts when I was a bit more grown up, you know? So at the age of 17, of course, I was attracted by music, arts, and writing, but maybe in a not very mature way. So I decided to start studying law and business because it was something that really, I also liked it. But then when years at university were passing by and then I started my master's, I discovered the branch and the path of intellectual property, which is something that you don't really study a lot during, you know, university. And then I fell in love with this branch, you know, copyright, intellectual property, creations. So maybe my connection or my strong link with the creative industry, although I have always enriched it, and I have always spent time and money, you know, to develop this area, it appeared in my life a bit later. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's why I decided to study one thing. But then I drove, you know, that thing to where I'm right now, which is where I wanted to be.
And how did you get your start at the this copyright field, intellectual property? Because from what I know, it's not very easy to start in this field.
Yeah, you're completely right, Sofiko. In fact, it is, lawyers specialize in intellectual property. I would say it's a little bit of a niche, a small industry. Of course, everybody in this industry knows each other. I was in Paris in a big conference, in a big congress where we were all the, you know, lawyers specialized in IP, we were really needed. So I had the opportunity to start working at the beginning of 2018 at the music industry in Sony Music, in the specifically in the publishing area. Mm-hmm. So that was my very first contact with cultural industries, specifically with the music industry. So yeah, since the end of 2017, the beginning of 2018, I started being in touch with these industries, and always as a lawyer, but as a collaborator in several brands such as Sofa Sounds or Fever. I mean, so that was my very first entrance to this, wonderful, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It sounds very interesting. Yeah, and starting at Sony is amazing. Like, it's a very good start.
Yes, I mean, it was. I'm very happy when I think of myself 5 years ago, 6 years ago, I feel like really proud, of what I achieved, of course, with effort, of course, with a study, and yes, it gave me a very deep flavor of how music was being, evolving in Spain, mm-hmm. in one of the top three, music companies. So mm-hmm. yeah, from every perspective, it was a very, very positive experience there. Yeah.
And why you decided to make a switch? And I think from Sony, you went to Anderson, right?
So I finished in Sony Music. It was almost 2 years there. And then I moved not to Anderson, but in the middle, I went to Baker McKenzie, this big law firm, and also to a boutique, Spanish boutique called MRG. And then I arrived to Anderson, and this September I will restart there, my fourth year. So, the reason of my change was because I wanted to touch not only the musical industry, but also other industries. And in fact, I had the chance to be in contact with the theater industry, a little bit the book industry, and also the audiovisual industry, which nowadays is like my core business area, we could say. So mm-hmm. so yeah, that was the main reason of my move. I wanted to spread a bit the industries I was dealing with. Yeah.
Nice. And what are your main responsibilities at the company?
At Anderson, I'm an associate, specialized in intellectual property, entertainment, and copyright. I mainly deal with audiovisual productions, so films, cinema, series, TV shows, everything related to the audiovisual industry. Okay, platforms. Everything. I take part in all types of negotiations of all types of contracts. With directors, screenwriters, actors, musicians. So I touch everything. Mm-hmm. So the writing thing, the musical thing. The filming thing. So I touch everything, and also we help to finance the productions. So we also provide a assessment in the financial side, okay? Because in Spain there is a big industry in terms of audiovisual, there is a Spanish audiovisual hub. So we are like a reference, in the world. So yeah, that's a bit my main role at Anderson.
It sounds like a very interesting position. Obviously, I imagine you have to be very attentive and very into reading tiniest details, but in general, I feel it's very creative. But the last year you spent at UNESCO, which you can share more, but feels like a very different thing what you were doing there. So it's very interesting how you decided to make the switch for 1 year. What pushed you to do this, and what were you doing this past year in Paris?
Okay, perfect. So I need to say that it was something that appeared in my life a bit as a result of hazard, okay? Because I was not like, you know, looking for a change, looking for a move. I mean, I was very happy in Madrid from a personal and professional perspective. But, you know, things in life sometimes happen. And I'm somebody like really ambitious and really dynamic. So I'm always all the time like looking, you know, what is going on here? What is going on right there, you know, right there. So I received a scholarship for young from the Spanish Minister of Culture, which is aimed to young professionals who work in the field of culture, okay, and really want to, I mean, boost a little bit their career in the international, you know, market. So I received this scholarship, which I feel like really, really happy. Of course, I mean, I also worked hard to get it. And then, I went to Paris. I mean, I've been in Paris this year. I'm finishing right now. Specifically in the Spanish delegation to UNESCO. So UNESCO is this big, you know, United Nations agency, but is the only one that has a specific mandate in the area of culture. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, although I'm at UNESCO, I'm not doing a particular legal work or job, okay, but I'm, of course, in contact with all the conventions related to culture at UNESCO. I mean, I also take part in all the negotiations, meetings where Spain is represented. And it's a mixture of a diplomatic job and a cultural and arts management job, and also legal consultancy, you know. Mm-hmm. So we could say it has these three branches. And of course, I mean, UNESCO's headquarters are based in Paris, and that's why my position was based in the city as well. And for me, from the personal side, I love culture, I love arts. So, I mean, being in Paris made sense in my career, you know. So, I mean, it's being an amazing experience.
The idea of representing the whole country is fascinating, wasn't it?
Yes, I mean, although I have a very global vision, because I mean, I think everybody, I mean, we're citizens of the world.
Yeah.
But I feel myself really Spanish. I mean, it's my home country, you know. I could be French, I could be whatever, Italian, you know, Portuguese, but I'm Spanish, you know. This is my life. I love my country. I need to say so. I really mean, I feel also connected to my traditions, my culture, my country, my, you know, my language. So for me, it was something beautiful, you know, beautiful to represent what my country, I mean, wanted to be the voice of my country.
Definitely.
In this, you know, United Nations organization. So, so in that sense, yeah, really, really, really rich experience as well.
That sounds really, really amazing. And UNESCO is such a big organization.
Yes.
Would you say that you felt comfortable working there in such a big organization, and what major lessons have you learned after spending 1 year there?
Okay, so the first question, definitely not. It was not difficult. I mean, the other way around, completely easy. I mean, it's a shark. I mean, in Spain, we use the expression, I mean, to be a shark, you know, like a very, very big organization, of course. But it has all the, you know, processes like really well established. So in that sense, I mean everything was very well organized. Okay, so for me, it had all the positive sides of working with people from many, many different countries. Of course, in my, you know, delegation, in the Spanish mm-hmm. delegation to UNESCO, we are Spanish personnel because, I mean, we are hired by
yeah.
Spain, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like in each country, you know, in every country. But for me, I mean, I had the positive things of my local side, you know, my Spanish side with my like small team at the delegation, but also the big and global side that I could find at UNESCO. I mean, the good thing of UNESCO is that it's the biggest agency of all the system of United Nations. We're 194 or 95 right now with the United States, the states that has just rejoined the organization. So, I mean, like, every country, I mean, of the world is represented mm-hmm. at UNESCO, or almost everyone, I mean, you know. So as I was saying, I have this double local and global side, which I could combine very, in a very healthy way.
And what major lessons have you learned after spending 1 year there?
Yes, and, I forgot that question.
No, it's okay. And maybe you want to share some specific project that you worked on, if you feel like sharing.
Okay, so the main lesson, which is a bit curious, but like the world has like become like accessible to me, you know, like now if I think of, I don't know, St. Lucia, okay, which is an island in the Caribbean. Before, I didn't really know, you know, anyone from this island. Mm-hmm. So at this time, I mean, like the world has a size that for me is like I can touch it, you know, it has become accessible to me. I don't know if you understand what I mean. Yeah. So in that sense, I think it's a really, yeah, enriching lesson. Okay. Like in not many places, I think you can learn in this way. So that I would say is the best lesson, in first place, but also in second place, I've been like really astonished and really surprised in a positive way, how diplomacy, you know, cultural diplomacy, diplomacy in general, and multilateralism really, I mean, is a tool to, I mean, make decisions, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, we are like almost 195 people that we think in different way, you know, each of us come from a different country with different backgrounds. And I mean, we could make decisions, you know, and think in the same way. So that is something that really, applies to every life, you know. So in that sense, it was also a very positive lesson. And I forgot the other question you asked.
If you want to share maybe about specific project that you worked on.
Maybe two. As Spain, we took a very important role in a conference that took place in this July, talking about rights in the area of neurotechnology, neuro rights. So wow. Everything that has to do with brain and all the rights, you know, that are connected with our thoughts, you know. Wow. So that is like really, really like the future. Okay. It's more than the metaverse. Okay. So in that sense, Spain together with Chile, like we took a very, main role. Okay. So I had the opportunity to be involved, you know, in the preparation of this conference. And also there's this Spanish painter, Pablo Picasso. And this year, 2023, we are celebrating its 50th anniversary. So, Picasso has a very strong connection with France, but he's a Spanish painter, you know? So, like, together with the Spanish embassy in Paris, the Spanish delegation, we had the opportunity as well to drive a bit the negotiations that were taking place at UNESCO, because also UNESCO is going to do like a symposium at the end of, at the beginning of December this mm-hmm. year. So I also took part in this project, which for me is also very important, because not only because I love the work, the artistic work and paintings of Picasso, but also because, yeah, it's a way of making the Spanish culture, you know, a bit more present mm-hmm. in a city such as Paris, you know.
I feel like it's such a also interesting job in a way that you basically work on project, you do something and you kind of feel feedback right away.
The quick feedback is that, I mean, you see how the conference, you know, is going on, and how the events, you know, they start in words, but they become reality. So yes, for sure.
After this experience, do you see yourself working in diplomacy at some point in your future again?
Okay, so what I know at this point of my life is that I want to continue in the, I mean, cultural arts industry. I mean, this conclusion has not changed, But completely the opposite. I mean, I have strengthened, you know, like my decision in this way. So the thing is that in Spain, to be a diplomat, you need to study hard and like only focus on studying like 4 or 5 years to become a diplomat. Okay, is what we call a una oposición. It's like I mean, I really don't know this word in English, but it's like a very hard process where you need to be focused only in studying to be a diplomat, okay, and passing the official exams that the Spanish state prepares, you know. Mm-hmm. So with almost, I mean, I'm turning 30 this year, I don't think, you know, I will freeze, you know,
for 5 years.
my life for 4 or 5 years to become a diplomat. So for the moment, being a lawyer, it's cool for me. Uh-huh. And also being a creator, you know. So in that sense, I'm very calmed down with this decision, but always linked to culture and to arts. Yeah, like all the time. Yes.
Interesting. Do you want to talk about your creator part a little bit as well?
Okay, perfect. Yeah, because I need this part of my life, so mm-hmm. I would not be like completely fair if I would not speak about it. Yeah. So yes, in this side, I would say that I have a double side, one related to singing and to performance, and the other one related to literature and writing. So the singing part is a bit, you know, like first. It appeared at an earlier mm-hmm. stage in my life mm-hmm. at school, as I shared with you at the beginning of this episode. I've been singing in public and private events, also with a Spanish platform called Fever for almost 3 years. And right now I'm very happy because this September I'm launching my musical project as a solo singer.
Oh my God.
Yes. I'm very, very happy. There I'm a solo singer and a composer. And I got surrounded by a very, very good producer in Spain called Emilio Mercader, which is also a very good friend of mine. And like he was in charge of all the, sounds and producing, you know, and composition side, and then all the visual part was directed by my brother Bosco Tamames, who is a creative consultant and director. So that's a bit my musical side. And
do you have the date of the album?
September, but I really don't know, you know. But yeah, but when we come back from holidays and from vacation, that's the month, you know. Yes. And then from the, you know, writing perspective, not last August, but the previous one in 2021, I launched my first book of poetic prose entitled Mi Viaje a Través de Ella, which means My Journey Between Them. This them relates to words, people, you know, and inspiring situations that I have lived. And well, it's like my small son, you know, my little child. I love it, you know.
It's
beautiful. It has provided me with very, very good moments. I mean, it's also a way of sharing a little bit of your, you know, intimate feelings, you know, because it's half biography, half not. So it's a bit of autofiction. So, I mean, the best thing for me, like of being a creator, is being able to share your creations mm-hmm. with the rest of the people, because I mean, me with my creations, I mean, for me, it means nothing. So yes, and I'm right now I'm writing my second book. So yeah, I mean, I create, I try to create all the time. Yes,
this is so inspiring. I really want to ask how many hours in a day you have to combine everything, to be a creator, to work at UNESCO, to be a lawyer, to be a singer. That's amazing. And
No, I mean, it's only agenda and organization, you know. Of course, in one day I don't do everything, you know. But it's a matter of agenda and of, you know, of wanting to do something. Yeah. You know, I mean, I'm a bit of a doer. I'm a dreamer, but I'm a doer as well, you know. So
that's a perfect combination.
Yeah, that's it.
I'll be very honest, I haven't read your first book yet, but I've been following you on Instagram, and sometimes you share little paragraphs that you wrote. And I even shared one for International Women's Day.
Yes, I remember this moment.
And it's really beautiful. I mean, I'm not a native Spanish speaker, but it's
but you understand.
But I understand. Right? I perfectly understand. And yeah, like, it's just beautiful, beautifully written.
Thanks so much. Yeah, I remember this one. Oh my god. Yeah, thanks so much. Yeah, I will share with you my book. I mean, after this episode, you will send me your address and I will send it to you to Barcelona or wherever you are in the world.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
What would you say are your life highlights? It can be related to anything. It don't have to be related to your career.
Okay. I'm going to start with my recent past. Okay. Present past, which is my year in Paris. Like really, really, it's not a typical answer because, I mean, what is a typical answer? But for me, my year in Paris, like, you know, from a personal and professional perspective, like from every perspective, I mean, I could, you know, find the inspiration I was looking for. I could find the beauty I was looking for. I could find the art I was looking for. I could share, you know, my months with my brother, like this year with my brother there because he also lives in Paris. So really, this has given me like a lot of, you know, strength, you know, yes, like generally speaking, okay? Also, like almost every creator has spent, you know, some time in their lives in Paris. So really, as somebody that tries to create things, for me, it's important, you know, to have Paris in my personal and professional CV, you know. Let's talk this way. Also, highlights. I would say traveling, journeys, trips. I mean, I had the opportunity to travel like to many countries throughout the world. Because really, I mean, I spend like my money and my free time traveling. Okay, so I mean, it gives me an open mind. It's a bit related to UNESCO, you know. Maybe, I mean, it could sound again like you know, a typical or a topic answer, but in my case, it's that way. I mean, I spend my money and free time traveling just to get to know people, to get to know other perspectives. And also I would say my family. I mean, for me, it's a highlight. I mean, I'm very grateful, like, to have the family I have, mother, father, and brother. Like, I really thank them, like, just for being, for existing, because if they were not there, I don't think I would be this way. So I would say these three things. Definitely. Yeah, Paris, trips, and family. Yeah.
That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing.
You're welcome.
What is your personal definition of success?
Wow. Okay. I link it directly to calm and equilibrium. Okay. So like really going to bed every night and be like relaxed and be happy with what you do. Like generally speaking, of course, you can go sometimes to bed sad, you know, upset, angry, for sure, you know, but in general terms, like having this life balance, life equilibrium, like really, I mean, like that you sleep well, like you're healthy, you know, that you have the enough quantity of money to do what you want to do, you know, maybe buy, I don't know, a sausage, whatever, you know, but maybe getting a Coca-Cola, you know, at the seaside, okay? But yeah, calm and equilibrium, for me, that's completely success, yes.
That's a really, really beautiful definition, and yeah. I would say very down to earth, because I agree with you, like, it's really that simple.
Completely.
And so, thank you really for sharing.
You're welcome.
We will be slowly wrapping up the interview. And at the end, I have these questions that I ask all of my guests. Some of them are silly. Some of them are not. But let's go. Do you have any book, movie, and song recommendations? It can be something like all-time favorite. It can be something that you recently listened to or watched or read and you really loved and you feel like you want to share it at the moment.
Okay, so I would say I'm going to answer this question maybe talking about a film or maybe talking about or a book, but also talking about a creator. Okay. So from the literature and books perspective, I would recommend a Spanish writer called Carmen Martín Gaite. I got to know her this year thanks to my girlfriend. I mean, she's like really into her world. And she was a Spanish writer, like one of the most important figures of Hispanic literature back in the 20th century. So, I mean, and she also received, I mean, she was the first woman who received the Spanish National Literature Prize back in 1978. So, I mean, it's a must, you know, in the recent Spanish literature. And in terms of a book, I'm reading, because it has a little bit of a connection with my musical project I was sharing before, a book called Muse, Uncovering the Hidden Figures Behind Art History's Masterpieces. It's written by Ruth Millington. She's a British art historian and critic, you know, in the field of arts. And it was a friend of mine a Spanish friend of mine that studied art, and she's working in London, and that recommended this book, and it explores a bit the idea of muse in a different way. Okay, so there is always this relationship between muse and creator, a masculine creator. So it's a book that it's a journey throughout different muses, you know, like Picasso's muses. I mean. In art history, but it also rethinks the concept of muse. Okay, so in that sense, I mean, I'm reading it and working and you know, doing a bit of research. So I would recommend, I mean, this one to the audience as well. In terms of in the field of music, I would recommend a Spanish singer a recent Spanish singer. She's called Vera Noor. Okay, Vera. Noor. She's a Spanish singer, a composer and producer. Wow, I love her music. I mean, she's a small one, okay? But like really she's doing a very, very good job right
what
now.
What type,
okay?
What genre is she doing?
Wow, I really don't know how to define it. I invite the listeners
just listen,
to listen
okay.
to her. Yes, and to you, Sofiko, as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah. And I also like three French girls their musical name is L.E.J., okay, because it's Lucie, Elisa, and Juliette, and they only sing with their voice, with percussions and a cello, okay, and they do like versions. I got to know them like in 2015 because they did a mashup of, you know, all the summer songs. Wow, L.E.J., they're incredible.
Okay.
Incredible, yeah. And then from the audiovisual side, a film I love is Cinema Paradiso, okay? Incredible. And I would also recommend the audience, there is this platform, a Spanish platform, which is called Filmin. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know it, Sofiko, mm-hmm. which has a huge catalog of independent cinema.
Yeah.
So there you can see documentaries, you know, films, like a bit, not this huge blockbusters, which are great as well, okay? But, I mean, the other day I was watching a documentary about Jane Birkin, you know, that has recently passed by this documentary made by her daughter, Charlotte. I mean, incredible. So yeah, these are my small, you know, recommendations to the audience.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
The next silly question is...
They are not silly questions.
No, this wasn't. The next one is silly.
Okay.
Do you have a celebrity crush? And who is that?
Celebrity crush?
Yeah.
Yes, Rosalía.
Perfect.
This is Spanish singer. No. She has just finished her Motomami world tour in Paris.
Have you seen her?
Time. Yes, three times. Oh, my God. Once in Spain, in Madrid, and two in Paris, and I had the chance to see her in Lollapalooza, this festival in Paris, her very last show.
Oh my God.
I mean, she sings so well. She composes, like, the mixes she does, like, in terms of music, of sounds, and also she's the sexiest, so that's my crush.
No, yes, I agree. The last question that I like to end the interview with is, who would you say inspires you the most?
Wow. Okay, maybe I go to the music industry again. I love Beyoncé because I think she was one of the very first feminists, you know. Also in the black, you know, I mean, she's black, she's a woman. And from the very beginning, I've been following her, thanks to my brother, because she was all, I mean, every day long listening to her music at home. 15 years ago. And I started following her shows, like, in 2014. At 13 in Barcelona, in fact, so 10 years ago. And at that time, she was already speaking about, you know, black girls, about feminism. She appeared on stage, like, surrounded by girls. So in that sense, I think, I mean, she's very inspiring for me. And also the music she does, I mean, for me, is perfect, okay? I mean, the shows, she's a gymnast, you know? Like, oh, my God. In terms of voice, of lyrics, of show. Her personal life, she's with Jay-Z. I mean, yes, but I don't know her personal life, like, a lot. But yes, I think she inspires me a lot. I don't know if maybe the most, but yes, like, one of my, you know.
One of the inspiring, biggest inspirations.
Yeah. And also another singer, which is a man, he's called Jorge Drexler. He's a Latin American singer, and he studied medicine, and at the age of 27, 28, he started to sing, and he did, like, a completely, you know, change in his life, and I love his music, and I think he's, like, a very, very clever guy. Like, I would really love to share, you know, a beer with him, or, you know, like, a dinner with him, to really get to chat, to have a chat with him and understand a bit, like, how he thinks. And she's married with a Spanish singer, that takes part of a duo, which is called Marlango, which is a musical duo, which I love. So this, you know, couple in the personal, professional, both sides, really inspire me a lot. Yeah.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing a little bit of your life with me, with the audience. Thank you for your time. Thank you for coming to the podcast. And you really are very inspiring. It's very inspiring for me how you manage to mix business, creativity, singing, being a lawyer, writing books, everything. Like, having time to read, having time to travel, living in Madrid. When there's opportunity, moving to Paris for a year, I think it's just, I feel like you're full of life, and it's beautiful. And it's just, I love your story, and I'm happy that I got a chance to meet you. And I'm happy that we recorded this podcast so we could share your story with others as well. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Sofiko. And I need to say, long life to social networks, to positively used social networks, because the audience, I think they don't know that we met each other through LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And then we had a coffee in Paris in a café literario, you know, in Bar Hortense, which was literature coffee. So, social networks, sometimes they have surprises for you. And this is the case. So thanks so much for inviting me to your podcast. And, well, I hope the audience enjoys listening to us.
I'm sure they will. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening and supporting my podcast. Have you ever thought of starting your podcast as well? It's now super easy to record a podcast with Zencastr. With its help, you can start recording a high-quality podcast right away, including the video. You don't need a lot of different tools and services anymore. Zencastr is all-in-one podcasting platform. You can create your podcast all in one place and distribute to all the platforms. Go to zencastr.com/pricing and use my code CREATIVEMINDS and you'll get 30% off your first month of any Zencastr paid plan. I want you to have the same easy experience as I do for all my podcasting and content needs. It's time to share your story.